Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Hello, coaches. Welcome to the Home Team Podcast, where football coaches from around the country provide the coaching community with improvements to their game plans for winning as a husband and a father. Today, we're going to flip the script a little bit and talk with Kimberly Eck, wife of Jason Eck, O-line coach and offensive coordinator at South Dakota State University. Kimberly and Jason have been married for almost 17 years. She is also the mother of four boys, Quinton, Jackson, Palmer, and Maverick. Kimberly graduated with her first degree in fashion marketing and later went back to school to earn her cosmetology degree. She now has a successful blog, www.beautybabesandball.com, where she frequently posts about the life as a coach's wife. She also utilized her fashion marketing degree being a stylist for Stella and Dot. Kimberly is also a member of the AWFCA, the American Football Coaches Wives Association. All right, Kimberly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Joel, for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited we get a chance to talk to you. We've obviously already had a chance to talk to your husband, Jason Eck, and he's told us his version of the story of how you guys met, but I think it'd be great if we could hear things from your side.
Well, Jason and I met in college in Madison, Wisconsin. He was actually a graduate assistant at the time for the Badgers, and I was finishing up my fashion marketing degree. I met him at it was called the Oakcrest Tavern, which was like a little local bar and restaurant that had like absolutely amazing cheese curds. But I remember telling him the night that I met him, which I still think is funny to this day, that he kind of like was chewing gum like a coach. I just think it's funny because I had no idea at the time that he was a graduate assistant at Wisconsin.
Was there anything about maybe the coaching world that you initially were turned off by? Just as I think about this, is there anything that you maybe had stereotyped? Like you said, you chew gum like a coach. Is there anything that had maybe it was an initial concern with him being a coach? Or was it just kind of was like a normal career path?
You know what? It wasn't odd to me. I was just really busy. I mean, I was going to school full time, and I actually was a manager for a Clinique counter at a department store. So I was extremely busy, and he was really busy. So I just think he liked that I had my own thing going on too. And I've just been I'm in a kind of an independent person. And I really think like coaches usually are drawn to like, coaches' wives that kind of have their own thing going on too, because they're busy and they want, they don't want, I don't know. I think like we connected that way good. And I already kind of, when we were dating, was used to his kind of routine and his schedule. And I had my own schedule going on too.
It's good. It's good. It's a good mix. I know not every couple has that same sort of opinions and things, but it's great that you guys were able to balance your schedules or be accepting of what each other was doing.
Exactly.
What are some key ways that coaches can add value to their marriage, with the limited time they have during the season? Because we know it's pretty strenuous, especially for, Jason, obviously at one of the top programs in the FCS.
Yeah. I think the big thing is just for coaches to give their wives some of their time when they actually do have any extra during the football season. And coaches are busy, but even like a phone call between a meeting, or maybe even just like FaceTiming your wife, maybe after practice occasionally to see your kids before they have to go to bed can really mean a lot. And the one thing that I think now with, coaches, social media is, especially even Twitter is just so big. But I think like when you actually are able to be together, I think coaches have to learn to like put aside their phone and just be as present as you can for your family. Because time is so limited.
Do you have maybe some you know, do you also make sure, like, time-wise, when you said with your phone being away, do you guys have a, like, a place you'll put your phone when you're at home, when you have that time, or
we
you know,
do
some
not,
sort of way to care?
We don't, but I will say, you know, there are times where he's like, you know, he does put it to the side or whatever when he gets home, and we maybe have like a family dinner. But I will say, you know, obviously, like, during the season, it's crazy and we don't even see each other that often. But, you know, then there's whenever it gets like, oh, a recruit's going to call tonight, you know, we just have to make exceptions. And like, that's just our world. Like, I mean, obviously, if there's an important, you know, call that he needs to take from a recruit or a call he has to make, you know, it's just something that, like, I think coaches, wives, and families just have to learn to understand and be supportive of.
What is something that you maybe admire about Jason as a dad, a coach, a spouse, anything like that?
You know, I really have to say I love and admire Jason's just passion and overall energy on the football field. You know, he literally pours his heart into watching film week after week, just trying to come up with a great game plan. I know he puts in the hours he does because he loves football and he truly cares so much for his players, you know, and even just overall for our entire football team here at South Dakota State. And then I really, you know, love the fact that, you know, when he finally has, you know, on a Thursday night, you know, after practice, a couple hours, he really takes time, you know, to play with our 3-year-old and takes time for them. And I feel like he, you know, over the years has become very balanced that way, you know, and just trying to, like, you know, even for our middle school son, you know, has a big game in football. He's, you know, one of the first, you know, people to call when he gets home to see how his game went. So he really tries extra hard. And I, you know, really admire and love that about him.
You know, there's one story I remember him telling him from the podcast about taking your son on the road with him. Did you have any, which I think was a phenomenal idea. I think it's a great tool. I even proposed that to a couple other coaches and they're like, oh, I never thought about that. Like that's a really cool idea. Were you reluctant at all to let him do that? Did you see any major concerns and, you know, what maybe pushed you over the edge to say, yeah, let's go for this.
You know, I actually was completely supportive because, you know, their time is so limited because of his career that I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. So I'm really glad you brought it up. And, you know, it was, you know, it's special to them. It's kind of like their time with their dad. And I just love that. And I feel like he's just learned to kind of find ways over the years, you know, to try and be there as much as he can for his sons. And I definitely admire that about him.
You mentioned, you know, you talked about maybe putting your phone aside. Is there anything else you see as a way that, you know, the coaches can improve the quality of time they spend together since the quantity necessarily isn't there?
You know, I would say, you know, in college football, you know, we really cherish our Thursday nights together during the season. That's kind of like the one night in college football for college football coaches where they actually like get home right after practice. And then, you know, Sunday through Wednesday, I mean, he's usually up before we're up and he's home after we go to bed. So on Thursday nights, I usually try and make like a big, huge family dinner. And I know like all of our boys really look forward to that because it's finally like the night where they get to see dad and talk about their week. So to answer that, I just think, you know, it's important for coaches to try and be present when you can be and just cherish any and all time that you're able to be together. And one thing I know that Jason has said is just that, you know, there was years where we had maybe tough seasons. And maybe, you know, he never took it out on us, but, you know, it would bother him and maybe he'd take it home with him. And I think he's just really learned over the years, you know, leave it, you know, at the office. And, you know, our three-year-old son really doesn't understand if we, you know, really won or lost. He doesn't care. He just wants to see dad and play football with him. So he's really learned to put that aside when we are actually, you know, all together. You know, he really cherishes the time with us.
and we're going to move to a section about moving, as a matter of fact. And you guys have had, I wouldn't know if I'd say the fortune, but you have had many moving experiences in your time. So when discussing new jobs, what do you think a coach needs to communicate to his wife about the new position?
This is a really good question. You know, the one thing that I think Jason and I have really learned over the years with his profession is, you know, that we're just a team. So when it comes to taking any job, we really discuss it together beforehand, and really trying to think of, like, overall our entire family's, like, best interest. And I would, you know, to me, it's, you know, the grass really isn't greener on the other side. So what might be that quote unquote great job that everyone thinks, you know, you should probably take might not be like an overall great fit for our family. So we really have like learned to discuss it together. And then maybe like write a, like a pro and con, like, should we stay or should we go? And I really think, you know, it's helped our overall happiness as a family for him and I just to discuss everything and be open, you know, about everything together.
As a family, may you give us some do's and don'ts about the moving process?
You know, this is, for me, I think, a big one for me is just to stay extremely positive about a move for your children. I really believe kids are resilient. So they'll really pick up on your emotions about a move, whether, you know, that be like positive or negative. One thing our family likes to do is just treat like a move almost like a new adventure. When we know we're gonna like head into a, you know, a different place, I might like research like great places to take our kids or maybe favorite restaurants we like to, you know, go to as a family. And then another thing that Jason likes to do a lot is, you know, usually he leaves right away to take on the new position. He'll go to the bookstore and buy like all of our boys like jerseys and gear, and you know, that always gets them really fired up. And then I'd say, like, once we're all settled where we need to be, I think, like, any free time we have, which is usually that 1 week in July, we try and soak up, you know, it's almost like a vacation to us. We soak up, you know, any great places in the area. I know one of our first summers in South Dakota, we spent it, you know, visiting Mount Rushmore, which is kind of like a new and fun experience for all of us. So that's kind of how we just handle it, almost like a new football adventure.
I like it. That's a good spin on things. And I think it's, you know, some of those same things might hold true even if you're a high school coach going from maybe one, you know, suburb or nearby area to the other.
Yeah,
in terms
exactly.
of embracing a new community or things like that.
I completely agree with that.
What are some key things that the coach needs to help with during the moving process to make things go more smoothly or to help the wife out or, you know, make the kids a little bit more at ease?
This is a really good one. You know, it's hard. I think especially for me, I feel like when we've had moves, usually whenever he's taken on a new position, he usually moves immediately to a new place. Like when he got the job at South Dakota State, you know, we were living in Montana at the time, which is, you know, a huge distance apart. So usually he leaves, starts his new position, and I kind of have to handle like all the details on the move pretty much on my own. But I will say that Jason's helped a lot, whatever way he can. And I think, you know, other coaches can help, maybe by helping with any kind of logistics with the move, you know, maybe that showing up on moving day. I know Jason in the past has come home a lot on moving day just because I think it's a really stressful time. And usually something always goes wrong that day. And so, you know, he's usually there for an extra set of hands, and there's always those extra few boxes that need to still be packed. So I appreciate that. And then, you know, maybe, you know, he sometimes will research homes for sale ahead of time just to do that like extra legwork for me. Or even like I've asked him to help me drive out to the new place. Just with four kids, it can be a little chaotic with a long drive, like from Montana to South Dakota. It was a long distance, and he came out to help me out with that. And then another thing I would say is when you're taking a job, you know, come home as often as you can for your wife and family, because, you know, being apart is hard on everyone. And I know, I think Jason's learned this over the years, you know, even just a short trip is better just so everyone, you know, can see each other, and, you know, it's just easier on everyone to, you know, still have that time together. And then I would say probably lastly, and this is just a little thing, but it's really big, phone calls and lots of phone calls, just checking in to be that support for your wife. Jason and I have been apart, you know, because of football moves, for as long as like 6 months apart at one time. And that's really hard when you have little kids. So I just think phone calls and like FaceTime from your husband are just so important, because it's just that support that coaches' wives really need.
That's great advice. I think that'll be well received. Let's talk a little bit more about you. You are on the board of directors for the AFCWA, the American Football yeah. Coaches Wives Association. How has this group been so special to you as a coach's wife?
You know, the AFCWA was actually one of the very first groups that I joined as a coach's wife. To me, it's just a really special group that really supports and embraces coaches' wives. And what I love about it, you know, it's in all different levels of football. And, you know, one of my dearest friends on the board of directors with me, her name is Chrissy Jolly. She helped me actually this past football season, actually with like a pretty hard time that I went through. And both of our husbands were busy at the time. And he's like a high school football coach. But really that's what this organization is about. It's just being that support system for other coaches' wives. And I really would have never known Chrissy or many other amazing women without, you know, being a part of the AFCWA.
Would you say that, you know, even at the, were you maybe surprised when you joined the organization how even coaches' wives at the lower levels had some of the same struggles and things that you'd had to deal with? Or
absolutely. And that's one thing, like, I feel like I've connected more with many different levels because of this organization. I feel like we just all have, you know, our week-to-week schedule is a little different. You know, because they're playing on Friday and we're playing on Saturday, but we really are going through the same things. And, you know, some of my dearest friends that I connect with a lot are high school football wives. And I mean, we have the same things going on. And I just think that's why I love the AFCWA, because it just embraces all different levels and we come together and just support each other.
How do you manage the relationships with the other wives on staff?
You know what, for me, we've moved around a lot, so I'm pretty blessed that I've met a lot of friends that are coaches' wives over the years. So I don't know if I really manage it, but I definitely feel like, you know, I feel like I've connected with so many different wives, and I feel like even though we're all a little different, no one understands this lifestyle better than us. And really, you know, I've had coaches' wives and their families over the years for like our son's birthday parties, you know, Christmas parties. We had, you know, a New Year's Eve party here a couple years ago. And just, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a big like Super Bowl party with the staff. Or even just in the summer, we have people, you know, the staff over to grill out, and, you know, coaches' wives and their kids. But I just would say with every school we've been at, our coaching staff, like our coaches' wives and their families, they're truly like a football family to us. And I just think it's important to like, just really like come together and stick together.
You also have a blog called Beauty Babes and Ball. What was the reason for creating that?
You know, I started my blog about 3 years ago, and I laugh about this because I actually just decided one night, and I was in Montana, and I was sitting in our master bedroom, and I had like just literally a sea of moving boxes surrounding me. And Jason was working, you know, already at South Dakota State. But I guess I just wanted to write posts that would help other coaches' wives have something to relate to. Maybe that be, you know, going through a football move like I was at the time, or just even going through a really tough season, and just having that someone that they could relate to. So that's basically the ball in Beauty Babes and Ball. The beauty part is just that I worked for years in cosmetics, and then I also have a fashion marketing degree. And then lastly, the babes is just sometimes I write about like my fun and chaotic life that I have being a mom to four boys.
I'm sure that's something that all coaches' wives should check out. It sounds like there's plenty of relatable content.
Yeah.
We often talk to the coaches themselves about how they make their players feel valued outside of what they can do for them on the field. I think that's a huge part of being a good coach is really taking interest in players and what they can do as people, because ultimately the time together is be much shorter than the time apart, and you know their career outside of football is probably gonna be much more value and long for them. But how do you help make the players feel valued, whether it's in you know the entire team or even just within you know the Jason's position group?
You know, we actually just saw quite a few of my husband's players this weekend when we were at like a Jackrabbits men's basketball game. And I just feel like those boys are a part of our family. I mean, we have them over, my husband's offensive lineman over for dinner right before the season starts. And, you know, I love making them treats week after week during the football season. And really, you know, over the years, we've had so many Thanksgivings where we've had like my husband's players over. Maybe because their family was just too far to travel to. And, you know, last year we were in the playoffs. So, and the year before we, you know, had players over. So those players are really just a part of our family. And we always try and I always say my football family, but that's how I truly look at it. And, you know, we just adore them.
You have to wear a lot of hats as a coach's wife. What are your thoughts on not only being the coach's wife, but also a mom to coach's kids? How do you help them understand, you know, dad's role and how you can all work together and still be a great family?
You know, the one thing that I try and remember always is that I chose to be married to a coach, but basically my kids were born into this kind of crazy football life. In the season, I completely agree with you. Coaches' wives wear a lot of hats, and we handle a lot alone while our husbands work, you know, on that next big game. So I personally, over the years, have just preferred to have like a career, or like a job that kept me at home. I just think it's important to be that constant support for my children. You know, when my husband works the hours that he does because of football. And I just like to be there for my children, you know, for all their games and track meets and homework. And I just love knowing that they have me anytime to lean on, you know, when their job is just truly like so demanding. And I just think that that's made our family overall happier.
Your kids, as they obviously get older, you know, I think when they're young, they don't really care who wins and who loses. You know, as they get older, you know, the wins and losses can maybe have a more, or maybe the losses specifically can have a more draining effect on them. How do you help your kids maybe refocus or, you know, not worry as much about, you know, a loss that happens during the season?
Yeah, you know what? I think we all take losses a little hard in our family, but we kind of have, I would say, like a little bit of a mentality like, you know, whenever we have had a loss, it's kind of like we go home and probably just order a pizza and watch some games. And, you know, we're all a little upset about it. But we know, like, next week is a new week, and you got to, like, kind of dust yourself off, and, you know, there's no time for sulking. You just got to get back into it. And that's kind of, like, how we are and our mentality, and I feel like it's just kind of, like, the way we've been over the years. I will say, I think over the years, my husband's been really great about, you know, he knows that, like, a three-year-old, we have a three-year-old little boy, and he doesn't care. He just wants to play, and so my husband's really great about that. You know, even though it's hard and he's worked long hours and he'd love to have that win, he knows that, you know, a three-year-old doesn't understand that, and he's still, like, tossing the football after the game with him. And but, you know, I know it bothers all of us a lot.
Well, awesome. We do appreciate your time. I have one more last question for you. Some of our questions that we kind of wrap up with all the other coaches that come on. Obviously, I think your job is, you know, as thankless as it probably gets, some that the boosters and everyone else would really have no like outward award or recognition for, but maybe what do you hope your legacy will be as someone who's trying to be a leader in the coaches' wives community?
You know, I don't know if it's a legacy, but I certainly hope that I've helped other coaches' wives through this football life. You know, I also hope that I've made an impact on all those football players over the years. Just most importantly, I hope that they've felt at home and a part of our family, you know, during their time with us, because, you know, that's a big deal. I hope they feel like they've had a football family with us.
Awesome. Well, Kimberly, we do appreciate your time. We know you're very busy, and we'll obviously wish the Jackrabbits nothing but success this upcoming season. And thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Joel.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.